Hello and welcome to the Comedy Club podcast right here at the Comedy Club of Kansas City. I am Dustin Kaufman. Thanks for watching. Please subscribe. Tell your friends. I'm here with the very funny Learn More Jonasy.
Yeah. Thank you for having me, man.
Thanks for being
Appreciate
here.
Appreciate you.
First time at the Comedy Club.
So yeah.
You're from Wakanda?
Close enough, actually. It's very close. I'm from Zimbabwe. You know, I hate those guys. You know, I hate those Wakandans. They suck.
I love, and I just want to, as you mentioned earlier, I complimented your shirt.
Yeah, thank you.
And you told me your sister made that and makes a lot of the stuff, most of the stuff you wear on stage.
Exactly. My sister, she's talented, man. Back in Zimbabwe right now, and she makes most of my clothes.
Does she make clothes?
Yes.
Oh, she has her own clothing line?
She's like clothing line. She's a tailor, so she makes stuff for other people.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, why don't you help me? I want to sit and look. Why don't you? And she's like, yeah, let's do it. So it's been like that ever since.
I love it.
Yeah. And I wear, you know, just stuff from my sister on stage.
A younger me would have worn the shit.
Oh, yeah. So what happened to you now?
This is all I want to wear.
Oh, yeah, Marvel. Actually, that's a great one. Come on, Marvel. You know, they've been sucking lately.
Just hoodies. I just want to be more comfortable.
Yeah?
There's nothing I want to dress up for anymore. I'm not, they say you're not wedding material. Yeah. I'm not wedding guest material.
Oh, okay. That's actually a very good observation. No,
I'll find a shirt, but nobody's going to be happy.
Oh, my God. No. Because I saw you, like, tucked away, you know, in the club. I'm like, what does this guy do? Oh, that's the guy. Oh, sorry, man. I was almost chasing you out of the club.
I don't. Security?
Yeah.
Security, this guy.
He's the guy, right? I almost chased you out. I was like, what is this guy doing? Oh, okay. That's the guy.
Who am I trying to impress anymore? I don't feel like
impress me
with my ultimate comfortability. Like,
I'll get my sister to make you something.
All right.
Okay.
All right. That's the deal.
So Zimbabwe.
Yes.
And you've been in the States 4 years.
4 years. Yes. When I first came to America, it was Pittsburgh. That's where I moved to.
Brought you here? What made you move? Like, what was
The thing is, I've always wanted to come to America, you know? It was a matter of finding an opportunity to. So everything I've been doing in my career back home, I've been doing comedy for like 15 years. I was just kind of preparing myself for.
You had been doing comedy 15 years when you moved here?
Yeah.
So you're like a 20-year veteran at this point.
Yeah, I'm getting there. So the thing is, I lost count.
Tell me about how you started comedy. You started in Zimbabwe
when there was no comedy industry at all.
Comedy clubs.
No comedy clubs. But that idea was very foreign. Nobody knew about it. Even stand-up comedy itself.
Like watching stand-up comedy?
Yeah, it was just privileged families. You know, people that have knowledge of what's happening out there, you know, that can watch, you know, stand-up comedy on their TVs.
You say privileged families, you mean like they have cable?
They have TV.
Okay.
They have a TV. They have, you know, they have access to like, you know, the art form, like stand-up comedy. And they even understand it, you know, and they understand the humor, you know, because humor is different where I was growing up in Zimbabwe, in my village specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, my grandfather was.
I mean, the fact that you even say village and not city.
Nah,
town
it's a village. Nah, even people in the village call it a village. They never. We don't miss. You know, we know what a city is, and that's not a city. I'm telling you. Yeah, everybody knows each other. People drive like, you know, just, you know, it's one of those. You know.
I know, because in the States, when you think of a television. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a television.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And I think the most underprivileged probably has the most TVs.
I see. that makes so much sense now.
I have no money, but I'm going to be home watching TV all day,
exactly.
And it's fine.
No,
it's fine.
That's the opposite, you know, like especially how big your TV is. Like, oh, this guy is privileged, you know. Some families actually just have a radio.
Yeah.
And that's enough. You know, so that's when I started. I watched comedy. My grandfather was watching Bill Cosby. I don't like saying it anymore.
You don't like saying the name?
No, I don't like telling people that I was inspired by Bill Cosby. Because now they'll be like, okay, where? Only the comedy? Or did you?
I think people know the difference.
Of course, but some people get offended.
I mean, I grew up watching the Cosby Show. He was America's dad. And the general public, most people didn't know anything about what he was doing.
No, I'll tell you this. People still play R. Kelly in Zimbabwe so loudly and proud. And nobody cares.
They don't support peeing on people.
No. I'm sure if you tell them, you know this guy. Oh, what? They will actually be shocked, but they're still.
But you know, you feel that beat.
Oh, that when the beat comes, man, you're like, you know what? You gotta pee. When you wanna pee, you gotta pee.
So you guys had TVs growing up?
So my grandfather, we had a small black and white TV.
Okay. Right.
So they used to be
just slightly privileged.
Slightly. Yes.
Just a little bit. Slightly privileged.
Yes. You know, yeah. Almost got us bewitched, you know, because of that. People were like, look at this family. They got this TV. You know? So
But it has no color. It has no color.
No color, you know.
We have nothing.
Nothing. So I watched it. I was like, I want to do that. That's what I want to do. So at a very young age, I knew I was going to be a comedian.
Bill Cosby was the first stand-up comedy you saw?
Yes, I watched, yes. And then I started researching on more comedy. You know, by the time Trevor Noah came out and started doing it, you know, that's when everybody was like, oh, that's stand-up comedy. But back then when I started, nobody knew what it was. The idea of going to see somebody and, you know, them cracking jokes and you laughing was the non-starter. Because first of all, you had to convince them to pay, to use their money that they've worked so hard for to come and, you know, you make them laugh. That concept is just ridiculous.
You sell your show to different villages. You guys just give me $500 and a hotel.
No, that's not happening. They'll be like, make me laugh now. You are here, right? Yeah. Just make me laugh now.
For free, because you're my friend, right?
And when you're on stage now, they're like, that's all you guys doing? Dance or something.
So you, with your just little bit of privilege, you figure out what stand-up
Don't
comedy
call it privilege,
is.
Oh, please.
You called it privilege. Nah, you said the privilege FTV.
Nah, when the white guy is saying it is not the same anymore. Come on. I don't think it's the same anymore when you say it.
Yeah, I'm Jewish. We have all the privilege.
Okay.
FTVs don't even watch. Yes. It's so...
That's funny. Yeah, so yeah, with a little bit of privilege, we watched. I had discovered stand-up comedy. just a little bit. You know,
it's okay.
You know, like that TV was actually a gift from a white family that moved out of where they were staying, and they just gave my grandfather a TV.
So you decide that you're going to start stand-up comedy. You're going to introduce Zimbabwe to stand-up comedy.
Yes.
Walk me through this process.
Okay, so I went on Facebook. Those days, Facebook was so new.
And nobody in Zimbabwe will ever question the fact that you are the one who started stand-up. You don't have somebody going, Learnmore says it was
him. No, I didn't tell.
I didn't even know you're right.
You are very right. Yes, I want to clarify this. When I started doing comedy, there were people that were doing... what you can call it comedy, but it wasn't like
you could call it comedy.
Yeah, you can call it comedy.
So you're saying you're the first person to do it well.
Why do you have to really specify it like that? Like you want to start something.
Wait,
like it's like, yeah, this is
who
it right there. So you are the one that first. No, but there was comedy that was happening.
I'm not trying to spin anything.
I know, I told you. But there was comedy that was happening, but most of the comedy was mostly for people that understood what it was. So you have British comedians coming to the country and performing for like an all-white audience, you know? And then you had other people that tried to do it way back, you know? And it just didn't happen. When I came in now, I'm like, guys, I want to do stand-up comedy. First of all, what is that? You go on stage, you make people laugh. Make me laugh now.
How old were you?
I think I was like 16, 17.
Okay.
Yeah. I actually had to travel from my village, Chimanimani, to the capital city of Zimbabwe, Harare. where that's like the city, so people know what comedy was. So there was this open mic night. I went there, got booed. You know, a guy threw a chair on stage.
He threw a chair at you
when I was performing.
So you went to a general open mic that people could do anything, and you're like, "I'm going to go do stand up comedy."
Yes.
And somebody was like, "You need to sit down."
Yeah. And they're like, "Yeah, get out of here! I'll stand the whole show." You know. And I was just there, but I kept on coming back to the same stage and trying it out because that's all I had, man.
And that was the only open mic.
That and there was a few more, but musicals, you know. And then there was actually comedians that, you know, that's like, you know, popping out, you know, and started doing comedy around, you know. Some of them are like still doing it now. And it's like, now it's big. One of the biggest, you know, industries in Africa right now.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it's big, man. It's out of this world. And I love it.
Well, we are branching out. Maybe it's time.
Why did you say we?
The comedy club?
Okay.
Maybe it's, you're going to have maybe the comedy club of Africa.
Actually, yes. That's a thing.
Of Zimbabwe.
Yes, but I have to be the face of it because not again.
Listen to this. He's like, I need to be the face of this club. I need to be the face.
So that people come, you know.
Learn more. I actually have the sign being replaced next week. You're just
oh, my face right
face
there.
In the, it's Learn More.
That's what I'm talking
Learn
about.
Learn More's Comedy Club at Kansas
that's
City.
That's what I want.
We're just like, you know, like inside right here.
Yeah.
It's going to be your face.
You thought about it. You've thought about it. That see you.
We could do it like an 80s movie.
Yeah.
Laying across. Maybe like right here.
Are you still recording this? Do you see this? Here's a proposal. It's happening.
Yeah, I have a camera.
Oh, you're right here.
Nothing we say in this episode is protected by a legally binding contract.
It is very protected.
Put my face on there. You start doing some open mics and then you get some. How long were you doing that before there were like comedy open mics?
No, it does very quick, by the way, you know, because there were people that wanted to do comedy, you know, but it was just, you know, a matter of opportunity and just people to recognize what comedy was.
Did you start a comedy open mic?
No, I didn't have the knowledge to even do that. You know, at that time, that was not a thing that was in my headspace to actually start something. That happened at the latest time when I started seeing other people doing it. That's when I was like, oh, I can actually start my own thing. Back then, we would go to a club, right? Talk to the owner of the club, like a nightclub. And while the DJ is playing music, people are dancing. They just stop it. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, stand up comedy. Sit down. Then I'm like, okay.
It's the worst. The worst.
Yes. And yeah. I had no idea that was not the environment for comedy because the concept of comedy was very new. So I thought that's what you do, which made me a very strong comedian, though.
I don't care what country you're in. When you turn the music off in a nightclub and start telling jokes,
there's no way.
It's going to fail every time.
Because people are dancing with their women, you know. And then, hey. Stand up comedy, everyone.
I'm talking to my mom. Guys, it's fine. It's fine. Everybody drinking? Is everybody drinking? Yes,
you're
we're all
the
drinking.
Worst, man. But it made me a strong comedian because then you had to command their attention all the time. If you miss them, like just a little bit, if you lose them just a little bit, you've lost them the whole show. So you had to really demand it, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
I get it.
Now I realize how ridiculous that was now because of the experience and understanding the culture
but
of comedy.
That was your outlet to telling jokes in front of people.
Yes.
So if it's they were going to let you do it, you don't care how you're going to do it.
I didn't care. My grandfather once made me perform at a funeral. I'm telling you. He was just like, my grandson does, he makes people laugh. I see people crying here. Come here. Make them laugh. There's a dead body right there. It's like in the coffin. And I'm just there. So the thing is, we don't even know where comedy, you know, belongs. You didn't know where it belongs. We just thought, you make people laugh, so then make me laugh anyway. Anytime.
So you end up coming here for comedy to pursue comedy more.
Yeah.
And you.
Steve Harvey helped me.
Pitts, Steve Harvey did?
Yeah. He helped me. I met him in South Africa. You know, he was recording Family Feud Africa. You know, this was like a long story.
Village Edition.
I'm out. Fuck you, bro. Can I cuss you? Okay, I'll cuss you. The rest of the whole Africa is saying fuck you in unison. No. That was good. Man. That was pretty good. That was good.
I'd watch.
Yeah. No. No, but there is Family Feud Africa. It's kind of like that, you know, yeah. Where it's like, you know, things about Africa, common knowledge about Africa, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, so I was recording that. And, you know, that day I actually met him, you know, as part of the competition that I won, that he was running. Yeah, I won a competition with Steve Harvey competition back in Africa.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's like one of the things is to meet him. So I met him. I got to spend like a day with him.
Seriously?
Yeah, in where he was recording Family Feud. And I told him, man, I've always wanted to go to America and I'm struggling to, you know, to figure it out. You know, I'm a comedian. I don't have any other qualifications, you know? And he's like, nah, man, I'll help you out, you know? So financially, you know, I was writing and creating some content for his social media. And I even have a series on his social media, YouTube and stuff like that. You know?
Did this while you were living in Africa?
In Africa, yeah, just so that I can raise money. He was paying me for that, you know. And then I raised money for that. And then when I was applying for my green card, you know, he wrote a letter to the, you know, and then said, hey, this guy can be a good addition to American. I'm not name dropping, but I'm definitely
saying thank you.
Saying thank you, yes. Yeah. And also name dropping.
Man, I would imagine a letter from Steve Harvey.
I framed it.
Goes a long way.
Yes, I framed it. It's in my house. It's got his signature there. I'm so grateful, man. If he ever sees this, thank you, man. Yeah. You adopted me to America.
Did you say Pittsburgh is where you came in?
Yes. So then in Pittsburgh, that's the reason. I came to Pittsburgh because there's an arts foundation that was hosting comedians at that time, just after a lockdown.
Okay. You know.
So they were hosting comedians. There was a live, work, play environment for comedians. And they were also like housing them for like, you know, 2 years, a year or so. So it was a great opportunity for me. I applied for that and they were like, please come through. And then boom, that's where I am. I'm in Pittsburgh.
So a bunch of comedians living in, is it a house?
Yeah, it was like an arts foundation. It was like, there's this comedian that founded it. His name is Steve Hofstadter.
Oh, I know Steve.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He started it out. And then during lockdown, he found me on Zoom when I was doing Zoom shows. When I was back in Zimbabwe doing Zoom shows in America. He's like, yeah, you're funny, man. I have this thing that I'm doing. Would you like to come and do it? I was like, yeah, why not? So then I applied for it. I got accepted and I came to America, you know? And that's...
Dude, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, everything kind of worked out for me, you know. And then I did America's Got Talent. All of that kind of like, you know, it seems like it was planned, but it was just coincidence, honestly.
Tell me about the process of getting to America's Got Talent.
Yeah, so the thing is, they actually messaged me.
Did you have an agent or manager at the
time? Yes, yes. So I think the casting directors, whatever, they found one of my videos online or something, and then they're like, hey, no, this, where are you? And I was like, I'm in Pittsburgh. Oh, would you like to come and do this? I was like, yeah. Then I just flew to LA. Then I just recorded it. It was so quick, man.
Yeah.
You know, and not even like, you know, I had to wait. No.
Did you have to go audition?
I audition.
Pre-live. Yeah.
Live. Yeah. So the process is you do an audition before the actual audition.
Yes.
You know, in front of the judges. So I skipped all of that.
Okay.
You know, I was just there in front of the judges.
Your first appearance and performance with America's Got Talent was on live television.
Live television.
In front of thousands of people.
Yeah. In front of Americans and Africans, because we watched this show like religiously back home.
Yeah.
So it was more of a risk for me too, you know? Because if I had those exes, oh my God, my career was over back in Africa and here.
They never let you live it down.
No. So I was performing for my life.
That's got to be an incredible feeling.
Yeah.
And nerve-wracking, yeah. But so exciting.
True. Yeah, because you never know. Because there is a thing. Somebody told me that whether you like it or not, you are representing another you in Africa right now. Yeah, you might not like it or not. People are watching it. They're like, he's one of us. So the whole of Africa is like, he's one of us. So you better represent.
You leave your home country. Yeah. You come here to pursue a dream. Mm-hmm. And then next you're on one of the biggest shows on the planet. And
yeah.
You know for a fact that like millions of people back home
yeah.
are watching
Definitely.
And cheering for
yes.
you.
Oh, yeah.
Or either way, they're
yeah,
gonna,
yeah, yeah. You never know. You never, weird.
I have said some people would rather help you fail than watch you succeed.
That's true. I agree with that.
But there is something to be said about just like laughing as somebody falls on their face.
Yes.
Like a
my people love that shit.
Yeah.
They'll be like, look at him, I told you. You know, it's like one of those. But, you know, it just kind of worked. You know, it felt like all the stuff I was doing in those clubs, you know, really helped me on that stage.
Have you know? Been back home since performing?
Yeah. I needed bodyguards, bruh. I was being chased by paparazzi, bruh.
That's real.
It was ridiculous. They wanted to name a street after me.
Let them learn more.
Yeah. Learn More Street.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I'd, was
go
like, yes.
I'd go take a cruise on Learn More Street.
Yeah, please, please. You know, but they wanted to name it where the prostitutes are. So you can say, hey.
You're going to have a lot of people getting arrested on that.
I know. I was like, can I choose this street?
You're not going to Learn More Street, are you? I wouldn't be caught dead on Learn the More Street, honey. It's the worst street in all of Zimbabwe.
No.
Nobody wants to go there.
Yeah, you see now. So, yeah, it was such a big, big thing, you know, at the airport. You know, when I was at the airport and the immigration officer, I was like, you learn more. What? And then she stopped everybody. Everybody wanted to take a photo with me.
It's wonderful.
I'm sure the planes actually stopped in the air for them to take a photo of me first.
I want to see the alternate universe where you fall on your face okay. as American. No, right. no.
Okay.
Hold on. I have no part of me.
Why is that in?
No, let me finish. I don't. I'm glad that things went the way they did.
Yeah, but.
And you go back home and it's all of this. I would love to just comedically watch the version of you going back home.
Maybe it's a movie.
After just eating
Maybe
shit.
That's a movie.
Is that the plot to your movie?
I think that's a plot to a movie. That'll
Take
be,
your life, but have it just be the other.
Twist, exactly. Let's twist
you go
it
back home as a, like, oh, how'd that go?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm sure they would actually arrest me back home for doing that. They'd be like, you are representing us, and you represent us so bad. I'm sure they would definitely arrest me. I'm telling you, man. So that's actually, you never know. I might actually make a movie like that one day.
Okay, so I will get a percentage. You heard that. This is a very legally binding episode of the podcast.
Yeah,
so I'm putting his face on here.
Now I'm realizing that you're actually a Jew.
Ish. You can't just say Jew. It's very...
Really?
Ish.
I don't know how that... Wait. So you can't say Jew?
It sounds terrible.
No, I don't know. I know. Okay.
So like, same as I say
so
village.
You just
like,
say Jew.
Privilege. Yeah. Like, don't say privilege. I'm like, don't say Jew.
All right, Jewish. It sounds like you're saying, I'm not really Jew, but I'm Jewish.
Jew has been turned into like a verb and has so much negative connotation. Especially when like, you know, like you just get that redneck like yelling, it's a Jew.
Yeah,
like, it's a Jew.
Like, it's like the N-word of the hard R, you know, kind of like.
It feels sometimes
yeah.
from the person. And so it's
who's saying, yeah.
If you just say Jewish person or something. Yeah. Or just,
it's like some when people call me black. I'm like, why do you say black like that? Why do you have to say that?
Black guy. I'm trying to not throw up.
Yeah, black. That's exactly what it's
nauseous. get this chicken out of my face.
That's exactly what it sounds like. You really leaned into that. Like, you've been waiting so hard to say that for a while.
That's funny, this though. This is so much fun.
Yeah, I'm having so much fun, man.
Learn more. You're putting to see, you're gonna drop your last name. Is that right?
Yeah, it's Jonasi. Learn more, Jonasi, man.
Why are you gonna stop using? You're just gonna be like Madonna.
So I opened for Gabriel Iglesias, right?
Yeah,
in Vegas. Yeah,
he's here all the time.
Yeah, a close friend of mine.
He's never been here.
I'm gonna tell him to come here.
Do it.
I'm gonna definitely demand it.
Thank you.
And he's like, you know, I think you should just go with Learn More. Because, you know, I actually wish that I went with just Fluffy or something like...
Just stayed at Fluffy?
Because Gabriel Iglesias, when you were starting out, it was hard to really, you know, stay in people's minds. So for me, Learn More is like just like that. People are like, that's what they remember.
Right.
Learn More. And the Jonasi part...
And it's unique.
It's very unique, you know. Yeah. It's got a story, you know. So slowly I'm doing it, you know.
Is it... even a slightly common name in Zimbabwe?
Yeah.
Is it?
Oh, it's just like John.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, my best
friend. Just like John.
Just like John.
It's just like it.
Yes. Same thing. Actually, yes. People like, Learn More. Why do you have a common name, huh? But my best friend's name was Take It Easy. That's my best friend's name.
Real name?
Real name.
Take It Easy?
Take It Easy.
Now, is that like, no, just take, like, how's that spelled?
It's spelled as one word together like this.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Take just it like Learn easy. More.
That's so funny.
Take It Easy.
So anybody named, like, I was drunk? My mom was drunk when she had me?
I want to give you guys an assignment. Go on Google, type Zimbabwean IDs.
Okay. Or, like.
Or Zimbabwean names on IDs. Just see.
Don't actually start looking up. People's identification cards.
Zimbabwean.
Just
unique
names.
Zimbabwean names. Or you know how to Google. I can teach you how to Google. What the hell?
What do you have coming up? Where can people find you?
Oh, yeah. I'm on Tinder because I'm recently single. And
oh my God.
Neither I am.
Not exactly what I meant.
No, but that's like... where, if you find me there, please don't forget to swipe.
Oh my right. God. He's just pimping himself.
Yeah.
Bitch, I don't care about comedy. I'm on Tinder.
Whenever you find a chance, pimp yourself, man. So Tinder, right there. And also, I'm going to Atlanta this coming weekend. You know, I got a tour. Don't deport me for saying this.
This probably will come out in a few weeks.
Yeah.
We'll probably a few. Yeah. So anything later?
So I'm recording a special.
There you go.
In Chicago, you know, 29th of November. Tickets are available on my website.
Where are you filming?
The Den Theater.
I love that for you.
Yeah, it's so beautiful, yo. So I'm looking forward to that. Get your tickets on my website, learnmorejonasi.com. Yes, and then Tinder.
Learn More, thank you for being at the Comedy
Club. Of course, thank you so much for having me, bro. I appreciate you, man.
Well, I'm so glad you got to sit down.
This fucking Jew.
This
and the black.
Come on back next week for a Jewish and a probably not black guy. Oh, I'm gonna be sick.
Dude, that's
all right.
Funny,
but subscribe. Tell your friends.
Everybody. Yeah. Good night, everyone. This was fun, guys. Thank you for having me.